Hi, I'm David Edmonds of the BBC World Service, and this is The Big Idea. I found the most fascinating ideas around and the people who thought them up, and I'm going to do my best to explain them. Take my word for it. Today's big idea is worrying. The decline in trustworthiness.
Tonight at 10, the man called the biggest swindler in history is sent to jail in New York.
In 2008, Bernard Madoff was arrested. He confessed to operating a fraud of staggering proportions.
He says he's sorry and ashamed after taking $50 billion from clients who are now counting the cost.
Madoff was not a man to trust. But what is trust? Honora O'Neill is a philosopher who, I've been reliably informed, has written extensively about trust.
Trust is a judgment that somebody else can be relied upon or that some institution can be relied on. It isn't proof. Trust is what we do when we need a shortcut.
Why is it so important?
There isn't time in this life to go and get complete evidence and a proof for everything. We often have to rely on other people, so we have to have quick and reasonable ways of judging whether they can be relied on for a particular purpose.
So it lubricates life, it makes life easier, quicker.
Easier, quicker, friendlier, all sorts of good things. But the downside is if you misplace trust, if you place trust in somebody who is untrustworthy.
Professor O'Neill draws a distinction between trust and trustworthiness. More of that later. But in fact, levels of trust, in the UK at least, have remained fairly stable.
Levels of trust are something people often try to estimate by looking at opinion polls. On the whole, they show that levels of trust are rather constant. In the short run, they go up and down like yo-yos. But if you look back 20 years at some of the earlier opinion polls, who was trusted in the UK? Answer, judges and nurses. And university professors don't do badly. Who was mistrusted? Politicians and journalists. Sorry about that.
Society can't function effectively without trust. So does that mean the more trust, the better? Well, not according to Honora O'Neill.
We have another word, which is gullible. And if you simply place trust indiscriminately without making a judgment about whether the other person or institution is trustworthy, then just trusting to luck, as we say, is probably not a virtue.
So if I trust Bernie Madoff, for example, that wouldn't be a sensible thing to do.
It would not, because he would make off with your money. But lots of people did trust him.
This is a CBS News special report. Good morning, everyone. I'm Katie Couric here in New York, where Bernard Madoff has just been sentenced for the biggest investment fraud in Wall Street history. A federal judge ordered Madoff, who is 71 years old, to serve a maximum 150 years in prison. Now, that is what...
We don't want more trust, says O'Neill. But we do want more of something else, trustworthiness.
Well, trustworthiness is what the person or institution that I'm trying to assess has or lacks.
An individual or organisation is trustworthy if they can justifiably be trusted. To be trustworthy, they need three ingredients. First, honesty. People have to be able to believe what they're told. Second, competence.
For example, you have a toothache. You're going to go to the dentist. You do want a competent dentist. If I were to say, I know a chap at the garage down the road, I'm sure he could fix it for you quickly, you'd say, no way am I letting the car mechanic do my dental work. Not competent. And those judgments of competence are extremely important in placing and refusing trust intelligently.
Beyond honesty and competence, there's a third element to trustworthiness. Reliability.
That's the boring one. That's just being honest and competent each time, so that it's not enough to be episodically honest and competent for some of the things you claim to be able to do, but not others. And the difficult thing about this is that we often have to judge institutions, large ones, small ones, complicated ones, and so on. I think placing and refusing trust well is extremely demanding. And one of the reasons people have got a bit depressed about it is it's probably become harder, not because people are more dishonest or less competent or less reliable, but because we are asking people to judge things that are institutionally and technically very complex.
Because it is so complex, we've come up with ways to subcontract the assessment of trust. As someone with no medical expertise, it's not easy for me to judge doctors. But professional bodies exist to guarantee quality control and to strike off those found guilty of malpractice. One trend over the past two decades has been bureaucratic oversight. The state has tried to ensure that institutions are trustworthy by demanding they document their goals and deeds. Form filling. Ticking boxes. Cue produce a sound effect. Not that sort of ticking, Ben. In any case, Honora O'Neill would like to kickbox the tick box. Yow!
A few years ago, I chaired a little inquiry into the safety of maternity services in England and Wales, and one of the midwives said in evidence, and I still think it's the best single thing I've heard on this, she said, "You see, the trouble is, nowadays, it takes me longer to do the paperwork than to deliver the baby." And I try to keep that comment in mind because it is typical of many situations that people think that doing the paperwork is what makes you trustworthy. No, it's meant to be some evidence of trustworthiness, but if all you're doing is ticking the boxes, it fails.
From prisons to banks, hospitals to universities, Honora O'Neill's writings about trustworthiness and the focus on honesty, competence and reliability have become hugely influential. But we now live in a new world.
This is fake news.
I'm really surprised the BBC is reporting fake news.
That's fake news, and the BBC shouldn't be a hostage to it.
And I want you all to know that we are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake.
The honesty, competence, and reliability of media have increasingly come to be questioned. Digital media is easy to manipulate, with photoshopping and so on. Social media, meanwhile, is tricky to evaluate. Twitter handles, for example, can be anonymous.
When you don't know where the message came from, how do you assess it? And that's been known forever and a day. Plato said it in Phaedrus. He understood why Socrates never did any writing, because Socrates was fearful, as he puts it, his words would go fatherless into the world with nobody to stand up for them or explain them. And that is what anonymous communication does.
To judge trustworthiness of information, it helps to know its source. We now live in a world in which the source is often mysterious. But what is more, the internet feeds us and allows us to tailor information and views that we want to hear.
I think that both democracy and all intellectual pursuits, including science, depend upon check and challenge, encountering the positions that are different from what you already believe. The echo chamber can facilitate poorly placed trust. It may lead you to place your trust in something that you hear repeatedly. We see that which is congruent with our own beliefs. We believe it more and more and more. I think it will make people quite sceptical about things of which they don't have first-hand knowledge, or quite credulous. And that's the difficulty, that it will polarise. Some people will be sceptical, indeed sceptical about everything. Other people will be credulous about a great deal.
The internet offers enormous benefits as well as potential dangers for individuals. But Honora O'Neill has a wider concern. She believes the threat to trustworthiness imperils liberal democracy itself.
Until very recently, I think lots of people were worried about the private harms that could be caused, so the cyberbullying, the extreme pornography, the fraud. And I agree those private harms are very serious. But I think the bigger harm beyond that is harm to the public sphere, to the public space, to people's sense that they can more or less tell whether something is plausible. And I think it reaches a point, as we see in contemporary life, where people find it very hard to tell what's plausible.
So, come on, give me a solution.
I don't have one. I'm very depressed about this. The harm that will be caused to democracy, or indeed at its most depressing, one thinks maybe the termination of democracy, I don't see the remedy yet.
That's a dispiriting thought. We're living at a time where information is increasingly unsourced and unreliable. Perhaps the real lesson from our media revolution is that we should be putting more trust in proven experts, like Honora O'Neill. Thanks a lot for listening to The Big Idea from the BBC World Service with me, David Edmonds. The producer was the honest, competent and reliable Ben Cooper. Now that it's clear you can rely on this series, do leave a rating or comment if your podcast provider allows this. You can even let me know on social media about the big ideas you think I should be looking at. In the next episode, are we all racists?